Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now let's continue today by reading from the book of Genesis again, from chapter 1, where we have been reading, but this time around we'll pick from the last verse, verse 31. That's after God had made everything that he was making. The Bible says that he assessed the situation, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, where I'm going actually is in the next verse, which is the first verse of chapter 2. It said, thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their host. And by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. Now, I've read this to bring out a particular expression here, which is in verse 1 of that chapter 2. It said, thus the heavens and the earth were made. Now, what am I bringing out from there is the word thus. That is, this is the method by which the heavens and the earth were completed. This is the way by which God did everything that he did in the matter of creation. Now, don't forget what we have been discussing, how to birth the visions of God in your life. And I feel compelled to review this Genesis story once again. If you read in verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and then there was light. Now, I have explained this, let me just say it again. That first, there was a particular situation, and God looked over the situation. He said, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. So the Spirit of God was moving, assessing the situation, was moving over the surface of the deep, was incubating in himself what he wanted to do about the situation. That is, a vision was being created, something was being born first in the heart of God. And that's why we said earlier, in previous episodes of this teaching, and that is in this series, I explained the fact that first the vision must be born in your heart. And that was what happened here. God, having assessed the situation and dug inside him what he wanted to do, a vision was born in his heart. And then when he spoke out of the eruption of the thing that was already full. So he said, light be, and there was light. And the reason why he could say that the light was good was because there was a reference to compare the light to. If he didn't have a reference, he couldn't have said the thing was good. You cannot assess what is good if there's nothing to compare it with. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? So God compared this with what was first in his heart. And when what was outside agreed with what was inside his heart, he said it was good. Now we've discussed that. So we said your vision must first be in your heart. When God gives you an idea, when there is something that is inside you, you don't just go out and start performing it immediately. You first settle down and make sure that you know exactly what you want to do. And that's what God has committed to all of us as his children as part of our assignment. Don't ever forget this thing that has been the central part of my teachings over the years. And that's the fact that each person was sent to this earth by God to have an effect. That is, there is a problem that God expects you to solve. Nobody campaigns for an elective post without outlining what he wants to solve. America is trying to elect a new president, and economy is an issue. Terrorism is an issue. And each person is being assessed, mainly for them in this season, two things. What he is able to do about the security of the society, and what he's able to do about the economy that is in shambles. Those are the things that you use to assess whether you will vote for him or you won't vote for him. That is his ability to solve a problem. Now, that's the principle of life. God has created you to solve a problem. There is an assignment. That's a central part of my message, that there is an assignment that God ordained that you should perform in your existence. God never created anybody go out and go and enjoy, but he gives you enjoyment as a fringe benefit while you are performing the function that he created it for. So I'm trying to bring out something here. So when God wants to birth a new order in life, the first thing he does is to put the vision for that new order in the heart of somebody, in your heart there is something that you really want to see perfected, that you desire to put a perfect order into life. Now, I said that thing, you first incubate upon it, and that is the first place where it must be birthed. Once it is full in your heart, then your natural speech day to day will be expressing that which you really desire to do. Now, I don't want to go over all of that again, but that's the main thing we've been trying to explain about this issue of how to birth the visions of God in your life, because that is actually what God called you to do. That He will put a vision, He will put an idea in your heart as His servant, all right? Sent down to this earth to go and have effect. Now, He now gives you that assignment. He said, occupy with this until I come. That is, there is a time I'm going to take you to a level bigger than what you have ever imagined. But until that point, until I come to do that, what you will do is you will do business with this vision that I have given you until that time. So your job is to see those ideas that God has placed in your heart and start working to bring them out onto this earth. Do you follow the point I'm making? Now, let me try and avoid preaching on that message all over again, but because there's something I want to bring out here today. Now, notice something. We said God started with a situation that was utterly formless and was void. But by the time He ended, the Bible says in verse 31 of that chapter 1, that God saw all He had made, and it was very good. And in the very next verse, He says, thus the heavens and the earth were made. It is that thus I am trying to explain. What is it thus? You will notice this. God has all the power. We all agree. He is omnipotent. He is able to do everything. But when He was going to make and create the heavens and the earth down to the perfect order that we see it at the end of verse 31, the Bible shows us something, that He went step by step. I have brought up that issue before. He didn't just wake up and say, let the earth be and all that it contains. And the Bible would have said, and it was so. So we looked and we found rivers and found mountains and found fish and found birds and found living creatures and found man, all right, on the surface of the earth in accordance with that which God said. No, He didn't say that. But He will tell you that, and there was evening and there was morning, and that was the first day. And there was evening and there was morning, and that was the second day. And there was evening and there was morning, and that kept on going. And in each season, all right, which is what is typical, by evening and morning, all right, in each season something new will be added. And after 6 grueling days of hard work, God said, I have made everything and it is perfect. I'm bringing out an issue here, which is my message for today. He said, this was how I made the heavens and the earth. Listen, this is the message. I took things step by step. I did not rush anything. I took the time first to bring forth illumination. I took the time first to clear out all the water that was there. I drained the waters, essentially. I moved some above and moved some below. The ones that were below, I separated them into one group, thereby exposing the earth upon which I wanted to bring forth vegetations. And then I brought forth the vegetations. And then when the vegetations were already there, I brought forth living creatures. Now, I did all of this in step by step. Even though I had the power, I took the things step by step. My message today, this is what I'm trying to explain, is that this is how God did things, and that is how you must do things. I'm bringing out again today the message on patience. The problem people have is that they are never patient. Alright, patience is one thing that people have a problem with. The Bible tells us clearly that without faith, alright, it is impossible to please God. But He said, if that faith does not have patience, alright, it will not be able to inherit the promises of God. He said, we are to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. I'm explaining something here, that we are talking about bringing forth the visions of God in your life. Time is a crucial element in the program of God for your life. He said, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. That is, there is a time for planting, and then there will be a season in between, then the season for harvesting will come. And that's just the way it works. The problem we have is this matter of patience. Most people want to have it yesterday. You know, there was a program that I had in Lagos a few days ago, and one of our brothers went for the program, and I was asking him, how did it go? And in this program, a lot of very successful people were present to give lectures and to discuss how we can move the nation forward through entrepreneurial development and bringing forth, let me use my own words now, and bringing forth great things out of our souls. And he pointed out something, that almost everybody that spoke describe the fact that it took them time to come to where they are today. And I want to bring out that issue to you again. Let nobody deceive you. To let you know that you will just do something and quickly your whole situation will have changed. Listen, I told you something before and I'd like to say it again. If you see people that it appeared like suddenly their life turned around, yes, on the surface, there is a time in which suddenly it appears like things turn around. But you get to that time by waiting for that time. Let me say it again. You may have testimonies and examples. I probably have told stories also of people who one day they were nothing. The very next day, do you follow the point? Suddenly they were everything. I mean, our biblical example, Joseph. Joseph one day was a prisoner and the next day he was a prime minister. But you wouldn't remember that he was taken, if you're not careful, that he was taken out of his father's house with a vision in his heart. Listen to this, as a young boy, and he became prime minister about the age of 30. For more than 12 years, he was suffering first as a slave in the house of Potiphar, then as a hard-working, resourceful prisoner who has been wrongly, don't forget, imprisoned. And then one day, God turned his captivity around. And that's when the Bible tells, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. Now, please get this point. The people that God turned their captivity like that had been persistently patient, all right, in working with God and doing what they were supposed to be doing. Then God turned their captivity around. Don't forget our lesson from Genesis chapter 1. God took things step by step. There was no rush in it. Please, I hope you will get this point. I pray to God that you will get this point. Listen, God has not called you to succeed overnight, but God has called you to persistently make progress. You know, that's what I've been discussing for the last few episodes of these teachings. God has called us to persistently make progress. Once there is light in your soul, you begin to operate that light and you continue to operate that light. Eventually, you will discover that you have produced something. And then having produced that, maybe that's your day one. Do you understand? You will see the level where things could be better or something else that can be produced. And then you produce the next thing. And that's the way it goes. You keep on going step by step, here a little, there a little. And that's why the Bible says like that in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Now, there's something I want you to understand from here. If you read that context, that Proverbs chapter 4, if you read it in context, you discover that he started by talking about this light matter, which I have been discussing for a while. He said, "Hear, O sons," in verse 1, "the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding." Give attention. You know, I told you before that focus is an issue. People must be focused on something. Today I'm adding the fact that while we are focused, we must be patient. All right? He said, "Give attention that you may gain understanding." Now, he described all of that. He said, "Let your heart hold fast to instruction. Keep my commandments and live." He said, "Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding." After saying all of this, he now warned against walking in the path of those who don't walk according to knowledge, who don't walk according to understanding. He said it in verse 14, "Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it, do not pass by it." Now, he described the fact that these people eat the bread of wickedness. That is, they do things that are wrong and they get quick results. Please, I want you to understand something. God knows why he has to warn you against wicked ways or quick ways, quick methods. The reason being that they actually appear to give quick results. If they never worked, listen, God wouldn't take the time out to warn us against them. It is because they appear to work a lot of times. That is why we are warned against them. If they never work, he wouldn't talk much about them because there would be no attraction or no appeal. Do you follow what I'm saying? He said, "Don't go into the way of sharp practices. Don't go into the way of wicked men." Now, he said, "Now that understanding I have given you is the principle of righteousness." It's as you follow that light that you begin to make progress. Now the difference is that progress will appear slower than the way of wickedness. He said, "But," this is the issue, "the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter." Please notice this. It's a progressive increase.
I tell you, there was a message I preached some time ago on how to assess your life correctly. I said, you don't assess your life by comparing yourself with somebody else. You compare yourself, the yourself of today, with the yourself of yesterday. Do you understand my point? The you of today, how is it compared to the you of yesterday? If the you is making progress, do you understand what I mean? That's what you should be concerned about. Progress, first of all, must be in understanding. You must have increased in understanding. One day I was listening to a man of God talk, and he was talking about, he was just giving advice on things that he would do differently now, if it's now that he's starting ministry. And I've been in the ministry for maybe over 20 years, you know, something like that. And he now made a statement. He says, some people will say that, if I have to start again, everything I have done, I will do them exactly the same way I did them in the past. He said, which means you have not learned anything over the years. That is, you are not improving in the understanding of life. He said, no, you should have increased in understanding. And you know, some of the things that God had to correct you by experience, you shouldn't need the experience again once you now have the light. I'm bringing out something. That one of the ways you assess yourself is that you have increased in your ability to understand things. Now, I'm bringing out an issue here in dozens that I'm saying. That the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter. Now, when you see that word righteous there, sometimes we Pentecostals, we have a way of saying that, look, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, just by faith have been made righteous and there's nothing added to it. Now, that is true in that by faith we have been made righteous, but there is something added to it. That's what I want to say. Even James said it, that there is a work of righteousness which cooperating with your faith perfects, all right, your righteousness, and allows you to walk in a manner pleasing to God and thereby inherit his promises. Now, I'm explaining something here. That righteousness, the righteous man that is being described here in this Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, is describing the man who is walking according to instruction and who is walking according to understanding. Look at what he said earlier. He said, when you walk, verse 12, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. In verse 13, he says, take hold of instruction and do not let her go. Guard her, for she is your life. Now, what he's saying here is he's trying to describe the righteous person. The righteous man is the one who has done these things, who has followed the direction of the way of wisdom, who has followed the light that God has given him at the beginning of his endeavors. Are you getting my point? And he says, if that man holds on to the light, all right, and he keeps walking in righteousness, that is, which is holding on to the light, then you discover that he will make steady progress. He said, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter. Please, what am I trying to bring out in conclusion of all things I've said about this birthing the visions of God in your life? I'm trying to explain that the manifestations may take time, but there must be steady progress in your life. Don't judge yourself by the amount of money you are making. One of the people that was that talked in that program I referred to earlier, the lady said that for the first 7 years, she did not make money. Now, it's not as if she lost money in the business. It's just that by the time she finishes doing her projects and doing everything and paying the bank back, the loan that they gave her to do the project, there's virtually nothing left over for her. And this was, she did it, I can't remember for sure now, but for like 4 to 7 years. But she loved what she was doing and she continued doing it. And then one day, the last project she did before her turnaround, you know, the way we talked about, before she suddenly broke through, was done for a big establishment, which the day they called everybody, that the establishment that did the ceremony, and they called her and introduced her as one of their contractors who did a lot of the work that people were seeing. And that was it. Present that day were big wigs, all right, of big businesses. Present that day were big government ministers. All kinds of big people who said, you mean you can do this? Listen, the endeavor she's involved in Nigeria here, she has the largest factory in the whole of West Africa. Now, for the first few years, she did not make money. Please, what I want to explain to you is this. She was, however, making steady progress. She kept on increasing. Now, listen, I read the story of Michael Dell then. That's the of Dell Computers. You see them around. Now, this is the point I'm trying to bring out. The man in his book, he wrote the fact that for the first few years, they were not making money, but his business was growing. In fact, one day, people had to sit in there and say, look, we can't continue like this. We must start making money now. Listen, they were doing business. When I say making money now, they were not going home with a lot of money, you know. At the end of the day, after paying staff and paying suppliers, they had little left over, but the business kept on growing. Now, this thing is very common, all right, in things that eventually succeed. in the beginning seasons, it appears like the person involved in them may not be getting much. And that's because he's walking according to the path of wisdom. Do you follow my point? I'm trying to explain something to you today. Divorce your heart away from the desire for quick gain. It is not necessary. The gain that comes upon you suddenly will probably kill you suddenly or vanish suddenly. Look, listen, it doesn't work like that. And there is a reason for it. Because there is what the Bible calls glory. Alright? When the Bible uses the word glory, the literal meaning of the word glory, which is from the Greek word called doxa, it means weight. Weight. That's why Paul will talk about the weight of glory. Blessings are heavy. Glory is heavy. You need strength to carry it. One of the reasons why God doesn't bless you overnight is because he first needs to develop the strength to withstand the blessing. Listen, most people who are praying for certain things, if they got those things, they will run mental. Do you follow what I'm trying to say here? A lot of people are praying for ₦1 billion. Give them ₦1 billion. You will be amazed at the depth of craze that's inside their souls. They don't know it yet. Do you follow me? So what God does, all right, is that he first builds you up. He said, I commend you to God. Paul was speaking in the book of Acts chapter 20. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is first able to build you up and then deliver to you your own inheritance. What am I trying to explain? Before God delivers an inheritance to you, the first thing he does is to build you up. And the building up of people takes time. Listen, as you're walking with God, desiring to best great visions in life, don't forget this, God will take time. But he doesn't waste time, he uses time. He uses time to build your character. He uses time to build your intelligence in what you are doing. He uses time to give you further insight. I said something last time, until God has illuminated your soul, he cannot produce something through your hands. Let me say that again. Until the illumination of God has come upon your heart, God cannot produce things through your hands. Therefore, he needs the time. Look, that's why you must never give up. And that's what I want to understand. It is not necessary. You should not give up. The country may be hard, doesn't mean anything. You are somebody that God has called to come and fulfill a destiny. The hardship you have gone through is part of your training to be able to fulfill that destiny. Listen, nothing takes God by surprise. You are born in the country. God knew you needed to be born there. It's part of his project for your life. Do you follow the point I'm trying to make? Now, this thing I'm trying to explain is very important. The problem is that people think that, look, if I pray today, by tomorrow, God should have answered. It's unfortunate. Sometimes people get confused by people who preach to them and tell them, look, the day the widow of Zarephath gave one offering, then immediately she had her breakthrough. I'd like to explain it to everybody. Please get this point, if that's what you have been using to deceive yourself. The widow of Zarephath didn't give that first offering to Elijah and then get a breakthrough. Before Elijah left the brook where he was, God sent him specifically to the house of the widow of Zarephath. That is, God already knew her before Elijah left the brook. Elijah didn't get to her house by chance. God sent him to her house. What does that tell you? It shows you that there was a particular lifestyle she was living that caused God to send Elijah from a great distance, from the brook of Cherith, down to Sidon, to Zarephath, all right, to go and meet that woman. We talk as if it's just that one offering she gave and suddenly all her life changed. It is not true. She was a habitual giver before that time. Are you getting my point? She was somebody who had honored the prophets of God, probably, but she was most certainly, in my opinion, was one who had helped people in the past. And one more thing I can say for sure is that she had cried to God in her distress. That was why God sent Elijah. Are you getting my point? If you want to give a single offering to Elijah and breakthrough, remember, you first have to walk a long path with God before you get to the day that Elijah will get to your door. If Elijah gets to your door and you have not been walking in the path of righteousness, following a path, path describes distance, which takes time to cover. If you have not been walking in that path of righteousness, the day Elijah will get to your door, you will drive him away. The ability to perceive opportunities and to take advantage of them is a spiritual endowment. It is given to you depending on how you have been walking. If I may just say this, by the way, that is one thing about sin that people don't understand. And let me just say it. Maybe I should close with that to help some people. Sin is something that cripples your ability to have understanding. Listen, Christianity is not a joke. It's not the religion. It's not the church I go, the church I don't go. No, it is a scientifically provable operation of spiritual laws. That is, if you follow the logic and observe it, and you have the understanding to discern the movement of activities, you will see the effect that sin has and the effect that righteousness has. Listen, let me tell you what sin does to people. It blinds them. It removes their inner energy that helps them to discern opportunities and overcome challenges and take advantage of doors that God will open for them. If the widow of Zarephath was a wicked person, listen, she wouldn't recognize Elijah. That was what Jesus said. Listen, if you go and read from the book of Matthew chapter 25, when he was talking about the king rewarding his people, all right? He said, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The reason why I'm giving you this is because, now notice this, he's giving them a kingdom that he had prepared for them. He said, I'm giving you this to you because when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I was naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. And in prison, you came to me. Then those people will come and ask him and say, Lord, when did we do all of these things? When did we see you in need and we met your need? And he said in verse 40, he said, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. And then he will turn around to the other people on his left and say, depart from me, you cursed people, all right? Why am I telling you to depart from me? Because you refused to help me the way these other people helped me. And they will ask, when did we see you and we refused to help you? He said, it is to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these that you did not do it to me. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. The widow of Zarephath, listen, was somebody who would have done it to the least of the brethren, not just to a great prophet carrying an anointing. That was what gave her the ability to recognize, listen, the person carrying the anointing. Wicked souls want to sow one seed and get breakthrough. Listen, no, it does not happen. What have I preached today? The path of the just is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. The birthing of your vision might take time, but don't despair. It is not as if God is not there. The Bible says that with God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can be like a day. It depends on how quickly God can convert our hearts to the hearts of righteousness. The birthing of visions take time. It's a process. Time is used to process your vision. Time is used to fine-tune it, to bring it out pure. Are you getting my point? Nobody just takes the metal ore from the ground and begin to use it just like that. First, they take it through the process of extraction and refining. Are you getting my point? They purify the gold, all right? The gold will go through the fire to remove all the impurities. That is what God uses time to do. But your vision will most certainly be born. If you walk in persistence and in patience before God, God will continue to give illumination to your eyes, and you will discover that one day you will look back and say, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then your heart will really exalt and you will realize that what you have built, do you follow me, is an enduring thing. It didn't come out overnight. There was a time. You took the time to build a foundation. Walking with God in righteousness and in faith, you took the time to build a foundation. And what God will have brought out of your life will be something that will endure. Not a fly-by-night thing, but something that will endure to many generations.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.